Again this evening, and thank you, Pastor, again for the privilege and the honor to be preaching here in your missions conference. I have thoroughly enjoyed this missions conference. I'm wanting to go to Ukraine now, wanting to go to anywhere in Europe with Brother Sturtz. Brother Dempsey, I've been doing Faith Promise for 50 years, and you got me all excited about Faith Promise again. And so I'm telling you, it's been good for me personally. Enjoyed every bit of it, the fellowship, the friendship. Pastor Legault, he literally is the biggest nut I've ever met. I mean, he is a big one. I know a lot of nuts, but he's the biggest one. Amen. I've really enjoyed being in their home, and the meals have just been great. It's just been good to be here. Thank you so much for inviting us and allowing us to come. With Brother Sturtz and I talked about doing tag team preaching tonight. But I'm afraid it would be more tag than team, so we're probably not going to do that. Let's turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 6. I want to give him plenty of time tonight, so I want to get right into the message and do our best to give us what I believe the Lord would have us have this evening. If you would like to stand one more time, we'll let you stand if you'd like to and are able to. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, we'll read a very familiar passage of Scripture, I'm sure, to many of you. But let's begin reading in verse 7. The Bible said, "And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed." I'd like to jump down to verse 30 and pick up there. The middle of this talks about John the Baptist and how he was killed by Herod. But in verse 30, the Bible says, "And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities. And out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were a sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they say unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000. Men. Tonight I want to look at this passage of Scripture and trust we'll learn some things from our Lord Jesus Christ in this passage I believe will help us in the matter of faith and in the matter of serving the Lord. And we look at this passage, and of course it's the feeding of the 5,000 or the miracle of the loaves and the fishes, and say, wow, what a miracle. But you know what? We should go away saying, wow, what a Savior tonight. What a Savior the Lord is. Let's pray and ask God's help tonight on the services. Father, again, we thank you for this evening. And Lord, we thank you for the precious word of God that has given us the clear message of the Word of God, Lord, and our Savior. And Lord, we're just so thankful tonight we have a Bible. And Lord, we're thankful for our Savior and pray, God, you'd bless the Word as it goes forth tonight. I pray that you direct my words and thoughts these next few moments. But Lord, we're trusting in the Holy Spirit of God to take your Word and do in our hearts what needs to be done. Meet every need here tonight, we pray. Help us all to go forward by faith. And Lord, if there's someone here lost, I pray they'd be saved. And Lord, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. I love this passage of Scripture and in the Gospel of John. As a matter of fact, this miracle outside of the bodily resurrection is the only miracle that's recorded in all four of the Gospels. And it's interesting when you read all four accounts at one time and look at the different pieces and how they fit together. It's very interesting. But I like what the Gospel of John said about these men and them serving the bread and the fishes to the multitudes. And it said that they distributed those things to the crowd. And I thought, well, I like that. That's a distribution ministry right there in the Bible. And so that it's kind of a thing that I really enjoy reading about. But I want us to think tonight about this matter of this great miracle that took place. And, you know, how many of you ever thought about, boy, if I could ever have lived in another time in history, when would I have liked to live? And when I was younger, I thought, boy, I'd like to live back there in the wild, wild west and have one of those horses and those six guns and all that. Well, after riding horses a few times and falling off a few of them, I decided that's not when I wanted to live. But wouldn't it have been exciting to live during the time that Christ walked this earth? Wouldn't that have been an awesome thing? I think it would have been a tremendous thing to be around and be a part of what happened here on this day when Jesus fed this great multitude of people. Just think about that. That would have been a tremendous, tremendous opportunity to be able to live in that time and heard the Lord Jesus and watched him literally perform this miracle. And then, here's the kicker, he allowed his disciples to be a part of it. Think about that. Jesus is feeding the multitude here, but Jesus Christ is the bread of life. Jesus Christ did not need his disciples to feed this great multitude. He didn't need them to perform the miracle. He didn't need them to supply the material. He could have done all that himself, but he chose to use his disciples in this matter of this miracle. That's an exciting thing to me, because the truth of the matter is, the Lord really doesn't need you or I. He doesn't need our money. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He could do without us, but I'm glad, thank God, tonight in his divine wisdom and will, he has chosen to use us to carry out the work of God. And it's a miraculous work that we're doing, because every time a soul is saved, that's a supernatural act of God. Just as supernatural as Jesus multiplying this bread and fish and feeding these multitudes, and there was plenty left over for everybody. When a soul is saved, that is a miracle of God. Amen. And when you and I are a part of Jesus Christ and what he's doing in this world and getting the gospel to lost men and women, boys and girls, we are as much a part of what he's doing in the miraculous and supernatural in our world today as these disciples were in their day. Right. What an opportunity we have. As I think about this, I look at this and I thought, now how did these disciples go from where they were to what the Lord allowed them to do? And that interests me. You know, we read the earlier part of that chapter, how the Lord sent his disciples out and they began to preach the gospel of the kingdom and carrying out what the Lord said for them to do. Then they come in and they give their missionary report and they tell what all the Lord has done through them. No doubt they were excited, had a lot of stories to tell. But now the Lord is going to allow them to take a step further up in their service and in their faith and in their understanding of who they were serving. And tonight, I'm sure there are many here that you're faithful in serving the Lord in some way. You may be faithful in giving to Faith Promise, maybe have done so for many years. But as Brother Dempsey said the other night, the Lord doesn't want us to stay on level ground or stay steady where we're at. He wants us to continue to grow and do more. And these disciples, the Lord helped them to do more than they had ever done before. And so I'm interested in that. I want to do more, don't you? And so let's look here, just some simple thoughts tonight, and you'll have the message this evening. First of all, I want us to see in verse 34, of course, the scripture's telling us here that that Jesus has been teaching the multitudes. They've been following him and following him, and now they have followed him out to this desert place. It's a place of barrenness, and it's a very late time of the day, and it's a very empty place. And the people have followed him out there. And the Bible said in verse 33, the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. I want us to notice, first of all, obviously, our Lord's compassion for this multitude. I'm glad we have a God tonight that has compassion on humanity, aren't you? I'm glad, thank God, we were talking last night about some of the places where different people have been. We've seen poverty and seen we saw some pictures of the starvation and so on. And I'll tell you, that ought to move your heart. Amen. That ought to move anybody's heart. And I think when the Lord looked out on this multitude and they'd been following him, and now it's getting late in the day, and they're out in the middle of nowhere, and he's hearing the little girls and boys saying, "Mommy, I'm hungry. Daddy, I'm hungry." I think the Lord has compassion on their physical needs. He had compassion on a lot of people's physical needs. But I think more than that, he had compassion for their spiritual needs. He saw them as sheep not having a shepherd. I remember the first time I went to Mexico, I was on a 1956 diesel bus. We went all the way from Cincinnati, Ohio to Monterrey, Mexico on that old bus and got there and back. But we were with Carlos Demarest. Brother Demarest was a man that just, his tear ducts were directly connected to his heart. And that man would weep. And we're driving through the Mexico, and we're driving through this area. There's lots of places all over sides of the road. And he was speaking to me personally. He said, "Now, Brother Gary," he said, "you see those places out there?" He said, "You're getting ready to go to a place where people live like you don't live." And he said, "You're going to see things you're not used to seeing. You're going to see people poor, and you're going to see people this, that, and the other." And he said, "It's going to move you. It's going to stir your heart." But he's weeping. He said, "But you need to pray and ask God to help you to look beyond all of that and see that they have a soul that's lost and going to go to hell without the gospel." I never have forgotten that. And I thought, my goodness, that's a man that had compassion not only for their physical needs, but their spiritual need. And here's the Lord, and I'm glad, thank God, not only did he have compassion that day, but I'm glad he still has compassion for the lost, aren't you? And by the way, I believe he still has compassion for the whosoever wills. Amen. Not just an elect, select group of people, but Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. Amen? And so I see the Lord's compassion here. There's no doubt about that. The cross, you want to know the love of God, just look at Calvary. That's where you find the love of God. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Thank God for the compassion of Christ tonight. And God help us to pray that he gives us more of that ourselves. But I want you to notice, second of all, the Bible said in verse 35, "And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." I read that thing many times and I thought before, boy, how cold-hearted and how callous these fellows were. But I was reading that one day and it's like the Lord said, "Now wait a minute. Wait a minute. Maybe they weren't so cold-hearted and callous as you think they were. Maybe they were just concerned." They said, "Look, Lord, this place is barren. There's nothing here. The hour is late. The people are empty and they're hungry. And Lord, send them away. You've got control of this whole thing. Send them away that they may go eat, that they may go take care of things." And so I think about the concern of the disciples here. I believe they had a literal concern for this crowd. But I wonder, is there a difference and having compassion and having a concern? Now that's when the Lord just kind of slapped me upside the head. Said, "Yeah, there's a big difference." You see, the disciples no doubt saw the need of the people. They saw it. You know, one of the reasons why we have this missions conference is, as Brother Dempsey already said, we need to see that there's a cause. We need to see the need. Amen? How many of you have seen the need this week? They saw the need. There's no doubt they probably discussed the need amongst themselves. They probably talked about how late it was. And by the way, it is late. The Lord's coming. They talked about, no doubt, how barren the place was. Nothing there. And how empty the people were. You can apply that to the world just real easy tonight. And so in their concern, they see the need. And in their concern, they can talk about the need. And in their concern, they even talk to the Lord about the need. Amen. The difference in compassion and concern is, concern can see the need, know the need, talk about the need, and even talk to the Lord about the need, and go home and be finished. But compassion must do something about the need. You know what bothers me and scares me about being in a missions conference like this? Is seeing the need all over again. And hearing about the need all over again. And talking about the need. And even talking to the Lord about the need. But then leave and never do anything to fix the need. Amen? And I hope this week that you won't be guilty of that. I don't want to be guilty of that. Amen. We need to be, as Christians, I'm talking about the cream of the crop Christianity here. We're dealing with the cream of the crop here in this passage. I'm talking about people who are faithful to church. I'm talking about people who tithe and who already give to some degree. But listen, when we know there's a greater need, there ought to be a greater compassion. Not just concern, but a greater desire to say, Lord, what else can I do? How else can I be a part of the solution? What else can I do to give or to go or to help sin? I've got to do something more, not just be concerned about it, but have compassion enough to do something about it. And so I see the concern of the disciples here. But then, in verse 37, He, that's Jesus, answered and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Now that is the Lord's command to his disciples. Amen? That's not a divine suggestion. That is a direct command from the Savior. They come to the Savior and say, Lord, I mean, there's a big problem here. You need to send them away so the problem will go away and take care of itself. And he says, you give them to eat. How would you like to have been one of those disciples? You know, we like the idea of being one of those disciples when they're passing out the fish and chips. Amen? But what about when he gives us a direct command? Now, the Bible said that there were 5,000 men besides the women and the children. I did a little math. I didn't even have to take my shoes off, use my toes for counting. I just did it on my fingers a few times. But I figured if every family had an average of 2 children, he could have easily have had a crowd of 20,000 people that day. And I can just see Peter elbowing John and saying, John, did he say what I thought he said? John, yep, he sure did. And I can just hear old Doubting Thomas say, what in the world? We can't do that. That's impossible. Amen. How many of you agree? What he just commanded them to do was impossible. Now that's the kind of God we have tonight. We have a God that commands us to do the impossible. When he said, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, I got news for you. That is an impossible task from a human standpoint. 8 billion people. What did you say, since 1975, I think it is, the population has doubled. Is that right? And we're to reach that whole crowd of people with the gospel in our generation. And so what the Lord is commanding his disciples to do here is the same thing he's commanding us to do, and that's doing the impossible. Amen. Now notice here the disciples' cooperation. The Bible said he answered in verse 37 and said unto them, give ye them to eat. Now these fellows are typical Baptists. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? In other words, listen, Lord, you've just commanded us to do the impossible, and we don't have the money. We call it bread. We don't have the money. Amen. How many of you know this is called a faith promise missions conference, not a finance promise missions conference? Brother Dempsey's already made it clear it's not about the money. It's about our God and how big our God is and how our God is able to make the impossible possible. Amen. And the wonderful thing about it is he lets us get in on it if we want to. Now notice how they get in on it. First of all, they begin to make their excuses, and don't be hard on them because we do the same thing. They say, how shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? They got a money problem. He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. We'll not go into that whole story, but the truth of the matter is, there's a little boy there. He's got 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and they offer that to the Lord. So they're bringing up the fact, listen, Lord, we don't have enough money, and we don't have enough material. We don't have enough material to print a Bible for every human being on the planet, humanly speaking. Isn't that right? But God said, listen, what have you got? And then there's a manpower problem. And he commanded them all to sit down by companies upon the green grass, and they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. 20,000 people here. 12 disciples. One of them's a devil. He probably stuffing his pockets full of fish and bread. How are you going to feed 20,000 people in an evening? Well, the Lord, he knows how to do things, amen. And he said, put 50 over here, put 100 over here, and 50 over here. Peter, do you think if I provide the lunch, you could serve lunch or supper to 50 people? Well, I can't handle 20,000, but I can handle 50. How about you, John? You think you could handle 100? You know, the Lord, he said, you got to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, but you can start in Jerusalem. And you can start with your neighbor and start with your family and start with your co-worker, and then you can go to Judea and Samaria. And see, the Lord knows how to break this thing down. And that's what he's doing here. But I want you to notice this, and you'll have the gist of the message tonight. The Bible said he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to his disciples to eat before them. We won't take time to read it where it's at, but there's another passage of Scripture, one of the Gospels, that records this story. That when the Lord asked them, what did they have? And they said, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And he said, give them to me. Give them to me. And what I want to think about here in the next just few minutes is how in the world can the Lord use you and I to make the impossible possible? These fellows didn't have enough money to get the job done, and we don't either. They didn't have enough material to get the job done. We don't either. They didn't have enough manpower, and we don't either. But the Lord said, I want you to tell me, what do you have? See, the disciples answering the command to do the impossible started saying, here's why we cannot, we don't have, we don't have, we don't have. The Lord says, but what do you have? What do you have? See, it's not about what we don't have, but what do we have? And the Lord said, listen, If you want to see God do the impossible in your life, you need to first of all quit focusing on what you don't have and focus on what you do have. And then focus on what the Lord says to do with what you do have. What did the Lord say to do with what they did have? And what they had wasn't much. But he said, give it to me. Give it to me. I remember, I think it's back in Exodus chapter 4. Moses on the backside of the desert, and he sees a bush on fire, but it's not consumed. And he goes and checks it out, and God begins to speak. And he tells Moses, Moses, I got a job for you. It's an impossible task, but I'm going to use you to make the impossible possible. You're going to lead my people out of bondage, out of Egypt. And Moses, being the good Baptist that he was, began to make all the excuses why it couldn't happen. Amen. In good old southern cornbread and bean language, I believe God said, Moses, shut up. Moses, what do you got in your hand? And Moses is telling God all the reasons why he cannot. I don't have the ability to speak. I don't have. Well, what do you have, Moses? I got a rod. He told him to put it on the ground, throw it on the ground. God said, let me have it. Amen. You take your hand off of it, and you put it, you let me take my hand on it. Amen. And you know the rest of the story. And God used Moses to make the impossible possible. There's a little widow woman. She's gathering sticks. She's got a little meal, a little oil, and a few sticks. She's going to make her last supper for her and her little boy. Prophet of God comes along and says, I want you to feed me. And God had already told her that too, by the way. And she took what she had. It was very, very little. And she did with it just exactly what God said to do with it. And God fed her and that boy from then on, making the impossible possible. Tonight, if you want to get in on what God's doing in this world, and I want to get in on it, we need to trust God enough. When he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to see what you have, and I want you to turn loose of it and give it to me. I remember years ago, Brother Don Frazier was in our church for a couple of years, taught in our Bible Institute. It was a blessing. If you could endure all those two-hour sermons, it was a blessing. One Sunday morning, he was preaching for my pastor, and he gave an invitation, and he brought in an offering plate about that big around. I think Brother Ford has it now. Somebody told me he did. About that big around, he put it in front of the communion table. And when he gave the invitation, he said, I'm not asking you to bring money down here today. I'm asking you to come and put yourself in the plate. He said, because if you get in the plate, God's got it all. Amen. You know what? A missions conference is not about just a few people taking their hands off their lives and saying, Lord, you take it all. You can have it all. I put my life in your hands. You do whatever you want to with it. It's about every born-again child of God doing that. Amen. We've been bought with a price. That price is the blood of Jesus Christ. We are not our own. And we are to present our bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Whatever we have, God says, listen, I will use your life to make the impossible possible if you will simply turn loose of what you have and give it to me. And then I can bless it, and I can break it, and I can multiply it and do more with it than you can ever imagine. You believe that tonight? He did that through these disciples, and they were a mess. These guys were a mess. But God used them. And we're messes too. But God will use us, and God gets the glory and honor when he uses messes. Amen. He gets the glory and honor. And I just want to encourage you tonight. I want you to take stock of what you have. What do you have? If you're saved tonight, then you have the gift of eternal life. And you have a testimony. Have you given your testimony to God and said, God, would you please use my testimony in a way that does something for the glory of God? God doesn't mean for us to have a testimony and keep it to ourselves. We're to give it to others. If you got health, strength, mind, means, money, influence, God says, give it to me. I'll take whatever you have. If you'll give it to me, I will use it for my glory and for my honor. If you'll just turn loose of it. That's how God used Moses. That's how God used that little widow lady. That little widow lady had a bunch of pots and very little oil. God said, just do with it what I tell you, and I'll do the impossible. You find that truth all throughout the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I believe we're living in some of the greatest opportunities to serve God that we've ever had. The need is tremendous. And by the way, you read just prior to these verses, John the Baptist had been beheaded. And so there were some horrible things going on, but there were some wonderful things going on. And listen, if you're waiting for everything to be just perfect before you decide to surrender and serve God in your life or in your country or in the politics or in the economic situation, listen, you'll be waiting a long time. God is able to work above and beyond and clear through all of that because He's a God that is able to make the impossible possible. Amen? You trust the Lord enough tonight to turn loose of your life? Put it in an offering plate and say, here I am, lock, stock, and barrel. I promise you, He'll not do anything bad with it. He'll do something good with it. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. You come.